What's up, everybody, and welcome back to Fireside Giants. I'm your host, Anthony Rivardo, joined by my co-host, Alex Wilson. And today we want to talk about some of these comments that New York Giants owner and team president John Mara had to say at the NFL's owners meeting. He discussed the Giants potentially taking a quarterback with their top pick in the draft, how he feels about Daniel Jones, and also the Giants' decision not to trade Saquon Barkley at the deadline. John Mara kind of gave his insight on all of those moves, what role he played in those moves. Maybe some think he played too large of a role in some of those moves. Maybe some feel like it's okay the way that the Giants went through this process. We're going to kind of go back and forth and debate that because Alex and I, we see it similarly, but a little bit different. So we'll give our takes on that Saquon part of it. But again, we do want to react to John Mara giving the green light to his front office to do whatever they want in the NFL draft, whether that be drafting a quarterback, whether that be taking a playmaker. John Mara said it's up to them. And I do think part of you has to respect him saying that and allowing that because he just signed Daniel Jones to that contract last year. That's John Mara's money that the Giants front office is playing with. And he's fine with going for a quarterback if that's what the team believes is best, despite handing off that contract. So I have some takeaways from that I want to share. And of course, Alex has some thoughts on it as well. So we're going to dive into all that, unpack that in today's episode. But before we do so, make sure to leave a like. If you enjoyed this episode, subscribe to the channel if you're new. Ring the bell so you don't miss an episode. And comment your thoughts down below in the comment section. If you're listening to Apple or Spotify, please make sure to leave us a 5-star review. And go ahead and follow us on all of our social media channels at Fireside Giants. Without further ado, Alex, how are you doing today, my friend? And what is your reaction to John Mara's comments at the NFL's owners' meetings?
I'm doing pretty good. Look, opening day, Yankees played today. If you're a Yankee fan, it's going to be fun to see Aaron Judge and Juan Soto. If you're a Met fan, I don't know what to say. Your team might not be very good this year, but to the best of luck, best of luck to you. The Giants, obviously, a month away from the draft, and John Mara had some interesting things to say about Saquon Barkley. Kind of interesting to hear him say about the quarterback situation that he's open to the Giants drafting a quarterback a year after signing Daniel Jones to a long-term extension. That should be everything you need to know about how the Giants feel about Daniel Jones right now. The fact that the owner just came out and said, if the front office likes a quarterback, they should draft a quarterback. And then someone said, well, what does that mean for Daniel Jones? And he already said, let him compete. Let him freaking compete. Let's let the $40 million quarterback we just signed to an extension per year compete with a rookie quarterback. That's what he just said. I mean, if that doesn't tell you everything you need to know about how they feel about Daniel Jones, and look, the truth is simple. Brian Daboll, Joe Shane have been saying the same thing. The expectation is that Daniel Jones will be starting week one of the regular season. But John Mara just blew those doors wide open saying, well, let's go make him earn it first. You know, if they want to go draft a quarterback, let him earn it. The Giants are meeting with J.J. McCarthy a fourth time. We're not talking about J.J. McCarthy in this episode. We're not freaking doing it. We're talking about Saquon Barkley, and we're talking about other players here and how John Mara's comments kind of translate into what the plan is moving forward. But you know, as we kind of get this thing started here, what he said about Saquon was really interesting, and he essentially said, well, the reason we didn't trade Saquon last year is, one, I wanted to re-sign him, and two, we wanted to keep trying to win. And the Giants traded away Leonard Williams, which is the exact opposite of those two things, right? You know, trying to win and keeping the locker room together because he was the primary leader on defense alongside Xavier McKinney. And, you know, Anthony, you just said to me before the podcast started, Xavier McKinney was really upset that they traded Leonard Williams away because he was essentially like, are we trying to win or not? By trading one of our best defensive players away. With that being said, the Giants actually ended up winning more games during the second half without Leonard Williams, which is kind of funny. But we also had a little bit of a weaker schedule. And thinking about, you know, the decision to do that, you can make an argument that the Giants should have went on a fire sale and sold Saquon Barkley, sold Xavier McKinney, and sold Leonard Williams, and just got as much draft capital as possible. There is an argument to make about that, and the reason being is, well, the Giants were not going to be a good team last year. We saw the injuries to the offensive line. We saw the injuries to the quarterback position. We knew this was headed in the wrong direction by week four. We were already like, this season's already cooked. And they end up keeping Saquon Barkley, and you know, they let him walk. Joe Shane never wanted to extend him. Saquon Barkley said it himself on, what was it, the podcast with the Kelce brothers the other day. The Giants never offered him a contract, and where he actually wanted to go to the Houston Texans, not the Philadelphia Eagles, but he said, the Giants never offered me a deal. They never offered me a deal that was even close to fair to what I thought I was deserved of getting. And that kind of says a lot. It says Joe Shane never had even a thought about extending him on a long-term deal this season. I'm not talking about the offer that he gave him last year. I'm talking about the offer that he didn't give him this year. And it never came. It never happened. So Joe Shane clearly was ready to move on. Xavier McKinney, He never, if they wanted to keep McKinney on a deal, now looking at back at it in hindsight, they would have given him a contract when they gave Dexter Lawrence and Andrew Thomas a contract. The probability after they let him hit free agency of bringing him back was next to nothing. McKinney went back to Joe Shane and gave him a chance to match the offer the Packers gave him, and Joe Shane said hell no, immediately went out and traded for Brian Burns and added $30 million in salary kit to the team's roster. So looking at it in hindsight, the team was clearly, Joe Shane never had even an indication that he wanted to extend Barkley after this season, and he really thought that McKinney was going to be priced out of their range anyway. So why didn't they trade them for capital? And I think that's the conversation that needs to happen. And Anthony, you made a really good point in that they couldn't afford to lose all their leadership, right? Like, the Giants were on the brink of collapse at a certain point last year, on multiple points last year. The coaching staff was feuding. There was really bad energy. Wink Martindale was freaking out behind the scenes with Dable, and Dable was pissed at the Wilkins brothers. Like, there was a lot of internal stress and pressure, and if they traded away two of their leaders in the locker room, it might have all collapsed. It might have been an even much bigger problem than it was. So, you know, what are your thoughts about the idea to not fire sell these guys, add draft capital? You could have added maybe a couple mid-round picks, which would have been valuable in a draft class this deep for Barkley and McKinney. Even though the team was not going anywhere, do you think it was the right decision to keep them? And do you think that the decision to let Barkley obviously being the right one now that we're kind of transitioning towards a different strategy in terms of investing in positions with better positional value, which is something we've been talking about for a couple of years now.
In order to criticize the Giants for not making those trades, you have to make a few assumptions. First of all, you have to assume that they knew they wouldn't extend those players at the end of the regular season, which they didn't know. You'd also have to assume that there was a team willing to trade for these players despite the fact that they were impending free agents, which maybe there were no teams that were willing to trade for Saquon Barkley, or maybe that team would have been the Eagles or the Cowboys, and you're not trading this guy mid-season within your division, so there might not have been a trade partner for these players. So those are the couple of assumptions that Giants fans, I feel like, make that they probably shouldn't make. You know, it's not just guaranteed that a team would have sent a draft pick for Saquon Barkley of the proper value. And keep in mind, they're going to get compensatory picks here. They're in line to get at least a fourth-round pick for Xavier McKinney. Who's to say that they would have gotten anything greater than a fourth-round pick for McKinney at the deadline? You don't know. Again, it's assumptions. So it's kind of tough if you're the Giants or Giants fans to make those assumptions. But the point that you made about Leonard Williams, I'm going to even counter to that and say, hey, yes, maybe in a way that is contradictory to what the Giants said. They wanted to win. They didn't want to sacrifice their talent in the hopes of continuing to win down the stretch of the season, right? They wanted to keep their players intact. That is true, and it doesn't really contradict because remember, Alex, they gave Leonard Williams an option. They said, hey, we have an offer, but you can say no because we don't necessarily want to trade you. We just got a really good deal in place, so we will if you're okay with it. So I think that's also a good counterpoint here when you're talking about, were the Giants trying to win out the season? Does the Leonard Williams trade signify that maybe they weren't? No, I think that they were trying to win. I think their practice was consistent there because they were trying to retain Leonard Williams. It's just the simple fact is, he said, I'm ready to go, take your second round draft pick and run with it. So, and also keep in mind, Alex, one other thing. Trade deadline is week 8. Daniel Jones' injury happened week 9. Had Daniel Jones torn his ACL in week 8, the Giants maybe would have made some of these trades. I think that's important to note. Jones was hurt for the majority of those first 5 weeks of the season, 6 weeks of the season. Gets back into the lineup in week 9 and, of course, tears his ACL and is done for the year. But the Giants were expecting him to return for the second half of the season and hopefully look like the player that he did in 2022, put them on a run, and maybe make the playoffs by the end of the year. But then again, that week 9 injury happened, which was after the trade deadline. Had Jones been out for the year before then, yes, maybe they would have traded Xavier McKinney and Saquon Barkley and hit that reboot button a little bit sooner, knowing that they were playing with a backup quarterback and their season was probably in the tank. But keep in mind that in the context of that moment, the Giants were planning on finishing their year with their starting quarterback who just led them to the playoffs. And keep in mind that the season prior when he led them to the playoffs, a lot of that was built on a final stretch of the season. In that last month of the season, they picked up a lot of wins due to the play of the quarterback. So maybe they were banking on Jones having a final month of the season that was really solid once again and pushing that team into the postseason. So I do think context is important and it does matter. So Giants fans, yes, are upset that those trades didn't happen at the deadline, but Daniel Jones wasn't injured yet by the time that the deadline rolled around. So I think that's something that you do have to take note of and say, hey, the Giants still felt like they could be a winning football team by season's end. Why would they trade two of their best players? That doesn't necessarily make a bunch of sense. But again, with Leonard Williams, it made sense because they gave him the option. They didn't necessarily want to trade him, but they got such a damn good deal out of it. Why wouldn't you trade him? I think those are some pretty big talking points to keep in mind there. Now, the other half of this is John Mara being involved and meddling. A lot of Giants fans feel like the comments that he made indicated that it was his decision not to trade Saquon Barkley, and I personally disagree. But I know that I usually disagree on these conversations. A lot of fans feel like John Mara gets too involved and meddles too much in personnel decisions. I don't feel that way. I think I always point to a few different situations. How about the Odell Beckham Jr. trade when John Mara said that he was choked up and his children were crying, or I mean not his children, his grandchildren were crying and wouldn't talk to him on the phone and wouldn't hug him and stuff. He didn't want to trade Odell Beckham Jr., but Dave Gettleman did, so he said, okay, go ahead. That was the face of the franchise at the time. That was equivalent to Saquon Barkley on this team at the time. So you could keep that in mind and say, hey, maybe Mara doesn't get that involved with these decisions, and it's just, again, fans losing context of certain situations. I think what realistically happened was Mara and Shane had a conversation, and John Mara said, I would like to keep Saquon Barkley if you guys can, but do what you need to do. And Joe Shane was like, okay, well, if the perfect situation happens, we'll move on during the season. If not, we'd like to keep him so that we don't disrupt the locker room. And you mentioned the point that I made to you before we started recording. Xavier McKinney was outwardly, vocally upset about the Giants trading Leonard Williams. Imagine if they traded him. He was the leader in that defensive group. If Xavier McKinney was traded, the locker room may have not felt so strongly about that. And if Saquon Barkley was traded, I think it would have been even worse as the leader of the franchise and as their star player in the locker room, their big locker room leader. So trading those guys might have had pretty severe effects on the locker room. And we talk a lot about Brian Daboll and Joe Shane being almost on a hot seat with their backs against the wall. Imagine if the locker room turned on them in that final month of the season because they traded away their star players. Then that wouldn't be so good, and their seats would be a whole lot hotter. And you could also argue if they did lose the locker room by the end of the regular season, John Mara may have fired them for that, because we've seen him do that before. It wasn't until Joe Judge lost the locker room, Pat Shurmur lost the locker room, Ben McAdoo lost the locker room, that those guys got fired. So had Brian Daboll and Joe Shane signed off and traded away the two leaders and lost the locker room, maybe they would have gotten fired. So you could keep that in mind and say, hey, Joe Shane didn't want to risk that. He wanted to keep everything intact to save his job long term. So I think those are really all the points that I would make on that regard. I personally don't feel like John Mara meddled in this situation. I just feel like he had hoped for Saquon Barkley to remain a Giant, and it didn't work out. And now he said, okay, time to move forward and do whatever you want to do in the NFL draft. And I think that's where we could segue into the second half of our conversation, Alex, and talk about the draft and talk about John Mara's kind of comments on the Giants and giving them the green light on drafting a quarterback, unless you have any more comments about Saquon Barkley. But I do think, you know, it would be good to start talking some draft stuff with John Mara.
No, I think look, Saquon Barkley's gone. I wish him the utmost little luck possible with the Eagles. Great dude, a good human being. He, you know, got his bag, and I'm happy for him. The Giants didn't want to give it to him. It is what it is. But he's on the Eagles now, so now he is an arch nemesis. And unfortunately, that is just the way the world works in the business of the NFL. And look, the Giants are heading in a totally different direction. I personally think Devin Singletary is a good player. I think that with this offensive line, he's going to be a fine player. It's not Saquon Barkley, but he's going to be a fine player. And I wouldn't be opposed to drafting a running back in the third round, trying to get one of those nice upside guys with a couple of elite traits. I don't know who's going to fall there, but we'll see when the draft comes around. But yes, John Mara opening the door for a quarterback is really interesting, because we've heard all these rumors and smoke screens and this and that. I'll tell you one thing, guys. The Giants' interest in a quarterback is not a smokescreen. It's real. You don't allocate that much resources. You don't send your GM and your head coach to a number of pro days, have multiple visits, private workouts, NFL combine interviews. just to not take one of those guys. You know, I'm not saying they're going to take one of those guys, but the interest is palpable. It's real. It's not a smokescreen. Now, when you're talking about individual players, then you could talk a little bit more about, well, maybe they are trying to develop a smokescreen there. Maybe they are trying to get one of these guys to drop. Maybe they are trying to move up. You know, you could come up with a billion different excuses or reasons or justifications for why the Giants do the things they do. But John Mara is saying it blatantly. If the front office likes a quarterback in this draft class, I think they should go out and get that guy. And we've been saying it for weeks now, Anthony. The Giants hire Brian Daboll to develop a young quarterback. It's time to give him the young quarterback that he needs to develop and become the face of this franchise. Daniel Jones came with baggage. Daniel Jones came with injuries. Daniel Jones came with habits that were not good. They need to get a raw prospect with no bad habits, good situation, and then build up our offensive line around him and let him cook, let him grow and develop without just years of bad offensive line performance, years not having offensive weapons, and leaning on the running back position to be a crutch in the offensive game plan. It's time for the quarterback to be the focal point. Daniel Jones has never really been the focal point of this offense. It's always been Saquon Barkley. He's been the face of it. He's been the producer. Daniel Jones down the stretch in those playoff games in 2022, look at Saquon Barkley's production in those games. They were insane. You know, he really helped carry that offense a lot of the time. So I'm not saying DJ didn't do a good job, because he did have a couple of really good games, and I give him credit for those. But without Saquon Barkley, like, how does this offense really look? You need to have a quarterback that's going to step up and be the leader. Saquon Barkley is no longer the leader. It has to be the quarterback. It has to be Daniel Jones or a rookie. And I think the Giants are ready to kind of add some competition, your legitimate competition, whether it be JJ, May, Daniels, doesn't matter. Any of those guys are going to push Daniel Jones for the starting job. And I personally believe that to be very true. And if you disagree with that, I really just don't know what you're seeing on the film that we're not. But I think any of those top quarterback prospects are probably beating Daniel Jones for the starting job, coming off an ACL tear and a neck injury. I just don't see a world where he somehow wins this job, especially because of the injury clause in his contract. If he gets hurt again, a season-ending injury again, they owe him the entire $41.6 million cap hit for 2025. And guys, we need that $30 million. We need that freaking $30 million. Believe me, if we want to go get a WR1, if we want to go spend big on another big offensive piece, we need that freaking money. So the Giants, it's in their best interest to overturn that quarterback position. What are your thoughts about John Mara saying, yeah, I'm open to it? He has been very quiet about it for years now. We support Daniel Jones. We love his work ethic. We think he's the guy. But all of a sudden now, a year after paying him $40 million a year, he's like, yep, if they like somebody, go get him. Let them compete. I'm done handing out starting jobs. That's a big statement to me from the owner of the Giants, who's been pretty conservative with the way he's spoken about Jones in the past. Now he's like, yep, I don't care. I don't give two shits. Add competition. Let him win that job if he earns it. And I think that's the right way to go about it, because at this point, we can't be handing out starting jobs anymore. Same thing goes for Evan Neal, by the way. Let him earn it. Jermaine Illuminor is probably going to beat him for that job, in my opinion. But, you know, what are your thoughts about Mara's comments and the way that this quarterback situation is likely going to unfold?
Yeah, listen, I think that this is more evidence that John Mara does not meddle in personnel decisions as much as Giants fans feel that he does. Because if it were many people sitting in the situation where with your checkbook, somebody else just wrote someone a check of $92 million guaranteed, you would say, okay, we are not drafting that guy's replacement. We're going to get our money's worth, and that dude is going to play his football on that salary. But John Mara is not doing that. A year after signing Daniel Jones to that contract, he's saying, if this is what the front office feels like is best, if this is what it takes to win football games, then they can make that decision, bring in a quarterback to compete. And I think that you have to commend John Mara and give him quite a bit of respect for allowing that to be the case. A lot of owners would not allow that. A lot of owners would say, no, we just paid Daniel Jones all that money. He's our starting quarterback. Make it work. Be the coaches that I pay you to be and get the most out of this guy so that we could succeed with the guy that we're paying and not with the guy who we're not paying. So a lot of owners would feel that way, and a lot of owners would declare that. John Mara isn't. He's saying, go do whatever you want to do as long as you think that it's going to help this team win games. And ultimately, if the Giants feel like trading up in the draft and drafting a quarterback, whether that be Jaden Daniels, Drake May, JJ McCarthy, Caleb Williams, whoever it is, if they feel like that's going to help them win more games in 2024, then John Mara approves. And he says, let them compete with the Daniel Jones. And to your point about it being a competition, it would be a competition. Daniel Jones has been in the NFL for 6 years now. He is still an NFL quarterback going up against a collegiate quarterback. However, you have to be enamored by the proposition of Brian Daboll getting his hands on a moldable ball of clay and seeing what kind of player he can create. And that's really the selling point for me and for most Giants fans. If Brian Daboll, this quarterback guru, this guy who developed Josh Allen and knows what he's doing at the quarterback position, if he decides that one of these quarterbacks could be that superstar and with his coaching and development, then I think you have to sign off on it and trust in your guy. And ultimately, I believe that's what John Mara's thought process is. John Mara is, of course, going to think, yes, I signed Daniel Jones to all that money. He should be the guy. I also think John Mara is thinking, I'm paying Brian Daboll these millions. I'm paying Joe Shane these millions. I have to trust in their analysis and evaluation and let them go through their process and do what they believe is best for this football team. And that's the right way for an owner to operate. Owners should not be making the personnel decisions. They should be allowing the guys that they pay to make those decisions, make those decisions. And me personally, I feel like that's what John Mara is doing, and he should be commended for that. When you're considering that contract that they signed Daniel Jones to, for the owner to turn around a year later and say, hey, if they believe that that was a mistake and they want to go in a different direction, I will let them. I give respect to John Mara for that, because that's not an easy thing to do. It's a tough pill to swallow that you made a mistake at the quarterback position. But it is much better to correct that mistake sooner rather than later to save jobs and ultimately be a competitive football team. And I think that's, again, something that John Mara probably recognizes. So I don't think anything's going to stop the Giants from trading up to draft a quarterback other than the competition that they face to do so. The Vikings, the Broncos, the Raiders, these teams might be looking to trade up. And then how about the teams that are not looking to trade down? The Bears, the Commanders, maybe the Patriots don't trade down. Maybe the Cardinals don't trade down, but the Chargers do, but they only trade with the Vikings. Who knows how it shapes out? That's really what's going to prevent the Giants from drafting a quarterback, in my opinion, or maybe the fact that they're not in love with the guy available on the board. But I don't think John Mara is going to be the guy to stop them. And in fact, of course, as we're discussing, he said that he won't be the guy to stop them from doing that, which, again, I commend John Mara for, and I think is important to take note of as we get closer to draft day, as we hear more about the Giants' reported interest in Jaden Daniels, Drake May, J.J. McCarthy. They have a meeting coming up on Sunday with J.J. McCarthy. They're going to have a private workout with him. This is their fourth time meeting with the quarterback, with J.J. McCarthy. I think that's notable, and we're hearing a lot of interest reported in that player in particular. But we've heard interest in Drake May and Jaden Daniels. So there's a lot going on with the Giants right now. They're still going through their process. Jordan Rannan stopped, the ESPN reporter stopped Joe Shane at the NFL owners meeting and asked him, have you made your decision? He said, no, frankly, we have not made a decision yet. We are still going through our process. So this next month is going to be crucial as the Giants get closer to the draft. But once they make that decision, John Mara is not going to stop them from doing what they got to do here at the quarterback spot. And I think that's something to be excited by, especially if you are hoping for the Giants to land a quarterback in this year's draft class. You're definitely going to be excited by these comments from John Mara. So, Alex, those are pretty much all my thoughts on John Mara's comments. But if you have anything else to add to that conversation here, you know, what are you feeling about the Giants, this quarterback search, and the role that John Mara might play?
I mean, look, I think John Mara's basically stepped aside now and said, if they like these guys, then, you know, go get one. And I think one of the most interesting things he said was, this is one of the best quarterback classes, according to the front office, right? He said that they told him this is one of the best quarterback classes they've seen in a long time. Why would you waste an opportunity to land a quarterback in one of the best quarterback classes they've seen in a long time just to risk it next year when the free agents class is slim and the draft class is slim? It might be one of the worst I've seen in a long time, to be quite honest with you. So, yes, I think the probability of getting a quarterback is extremely high. I know a lot of people are falling in love with Malik Nabers right now, and guys, believe me, I love him just as much as you. The guy's an absolute freak of nature. But the truth is very simple. Based on positional value and the way that the Giants have operated this offseason, going away from safeties, away from running backs, towards pass rushers and towards offensive line, they're going to keep up with that trend and go for the most important position in the game, quarterback. And that's where they should be going. Yes, I'm not going to be upset if we get Malik Nabers, Odunze, and Marvin Harrison Jr. No way am I going to be upset by that. But just based on the way the Giants have been operating this offseason and the fact that they need to address quarterback, they need a long-term cheap solution there on a rookie contract, everything to me points in that direction. Everything that they've done suggests that that's where they're going to go. So I think John Mara's comments back that up. Do I think it's a smokescreen? No, I actually don't. It could be, but I honestly think that he's telling the truth because it's the logical thing to say. We all see it. The money says it. They're looking at quarterbacks. Obviously, I think other general managers probably know. I mean, think about it. If the Giants have reached out to the Cardinals or the Patriots about moving up to draft a quarterback, we don't know if they have, but if they've called, I assume they've probably discussed it. Then those teams already know the Giants want a quarterback. You know what I mean? So, like, the rest of the league already knows. The Cardinals are going to tell, hey, the Vikings, the Giants want to move up. You're going to have to give us more. Hey, Raiders, Giants want a quarterback. You're going to have to move up to get us more. Everybody already knows. You know what I mean? So, it's like, it's not like a smokescreen. Everyone knows the Giants probably want a quarterback.
And I have a point to make on that in particular, the idea that the Giants want a quarterback, want to trade up, and that's known. The Rich Eisen report, we discussed it on this channel last month, Alex. I'm sure you remember when Rich Eisen gave his top five rumors that he heard at the NFL scouting combine. The number three one was the Giants were calling teams in the top three, speaking with them and trying to trade up. Remember that? Okay, the other part of that video that Giants fans probably did not tune in for, the number one rumor that Rich Eisen dropped in that video was when Jerry Jones said that the Cowboys are going all in free agency, it meant that they're not spending and they're actually just not going to extend Dak Prescott. He said that back in February. That was just reported this week as the explanation as to why they didn't go hard in free agency is because they're going to let Dak Prescott play out the contract. So last month, that was Rich Eisen's top rumor that he heard at the combine. He dropped that bomb during that video and mentioned how the Cowboys are not going to extend Dak Prescott and go all in on him. And in that same video, he dropped the other bomb and said that the Giants are trying to trade into the top three. Now, since a month later, we learned he was dead right about that Dak Prescott rumor. What is our takeaway on that Giants rumor? What he heard is probably legit. The Giants probably are trying to trade into the top three. And I don't think enough Giants fans are talking about that because, again, I don't think they watched the full video because who cares about what Jerry Jones meant when he said the Cowboys were going all in. But now that you realize the validity of that claim, where it was a Dak Prescott-related rumor, you have to realize that there's probably a strong amount of validity to this New York Giants trading up claim. So I think that Rich Eisen, plugged-in guy, knows what he's talking about. I do think that the Giants were having conversations with those teams in the top three looking to trade up for a quarterback, and I think there's a good chance he gets proven right once again as we get closer to the draft season. And then the last point that I want to make on the Giants trading up here that I think is important to mention, Brian Daboll has connections to the New England Patriots. And I'm going to actually circle back here. Joe Shane said this week that anything is possible in the draft, trade up, trade down, whatever, because it is a relationship business, and he has a good open line of communication with a lot of general managers, and he feels like that's really important. Because it is. When you're making trades, when you're hiring people, all that stuff, it's about who you know, not what you know. And the Giants know a few of those guys in the top four. So Brian Daboll has those connections with the New England Patriots. That could be their in. That could be their way of getting up there and moving into pick number three overall with the Patriots. That's one connection. How about connection number two? Ryan Cowden. Remember when we talked about the Giants hiring him, Alex? That former Titans executive is now working as an assistant to Joe Shane in the Giants front office. When he was with the Titans, who was he working with? Monty Ossenfort, the general manager of the Arizona Cardinals. So the Giants have a connection to the teams picking third and fourth in the draft order, have strong relationships with both of those teams, or at least the guys running those teams. That's the Giants in. That's their leverage to moving up into those spots over teams like the Vikings, the Broncos, and the Raiders. Not only that, but also the fact that the Giants are picking sixth, not outside of the top 10. So the Giants have a lot of leverage right now to move up into those spots, and they have the relationships and connections to have those open conversations and make that deal happen. That's really important to note here. It's something that I don't think enough people have discussed. Ryan Cowden, his connection to Monty Ossenfort, that's a really important talking point. The Giants have every opportunity now to move up into the top four picks of this draft. And again, if you believe what Rich Eisen said, since he was right about the other rumors that he heard at the combine and dropped in that video, you have to feel like the Giants are going to be leveraging some of those connections and relationships and trying their best to move into those top picks. But I do want to hear your kind of reaction to that, Alex, because I don't even know if I've actually mentioned that to you before, the Rich Eisen thing. I think that's just something that I've had in the back of my mind but haven't really shared on the show yet, but I think that's notable and it's worth taking a look at and saying, hey, Rich Eisen was right about that Dak thing that nobody saw coming. What does that say for this Giants rumor? And then again, tying that into these relationships that Joe Shane has with people in the top four picks, It almost feels like a trade, or at least conversations of a trade, are becoming inevitable for the New York Giants.
I mean, I think the whole concept of smoke screens is for the public, not the GMs. You know what I mean? Like, these guys know who they like. You know what I mean? Like, the Giants are talking to the Cardinals. Giants are talking to the Patriots. They went to Caleb Williams pro day, even though they probably know they're not going to land him. They'd probably go to see Rice and other players. But, you know, I kind of feel like the whole smokescreen narrative is just built to confuse us, the fans, because it's all about entertainment. You know, the NFL's an entertainment business. You know, it's not about anything but that. The draft, it's all entertainment. Think about how crazy the draft has gotten the last couple years in terms of awareness and people watching and how excited and the media coverage about it. Like, it's just, these smokescreens are total nonsense. It's just for us to be like, oh my God, like, the Giants went and looked at this guy. They went and looked at this guy. Like, maybe it's a smokescreen. It's complete BS, guys. These GMs know exactly who they like. And the fact that the Giants are probably calling the Cardinals, calling, you know, the Chargers, calling the Patriots, calling the Commanders. All these teams know which teams want to move up. You know what I mean? It's not like a big secret. Oh, the Giants, we'll see what they do. No, the Giants have probably talked to these guys on a number of occasions saying, all right, like, how much do the Vikings offer you? Like, what do we have to do to move up? What are you willing to accept? Like, what's the offer that you, what do you want to move up, you know, so that we can get there? These conversations are probably happening as we speak. And the smokescreen aspect of it is just because we don't know which quarterback they like, you know, or which player they like. It could be any of the top four quarterbacks. We don't know who's going to drop. You know, Jaden Daniels could drop. You know, his little elbow thing everyone's freaking out about on social media right now. It's like, it's nothing. Like, what stupid, like, stupid crap like that is why nothing that the public thinks is anything I believe. You know, I don't think anything that Joe Shane says to the public, total nonsense, because he turns around, he hangs up that phone with the public, and he calls up the GMs and says the reality right after it. You know what I mean? He said the other day, the best way to get deals done, to make things happen, is to have good relationships with other general managers. You think lying to other GMs, smoke screening other GMs, talking behind their back with other guys is the way to have good relationships with GMs? No. They're being honest about these discussions. This is what I want. This is what I need to move up. This is what I'm willing to give. This is who I'm targeting. Like, this is how it goes. You know what I mean? Because if you're, for example, the Patriots, and the Patriots want one of these quarterbacks, and the Giants are like, yeah, we want to move up to three, but we want the guy that you want, they're going to be like, no, like, we don't want to trade. But if they're like Cardinals, like, we want to move back, you have a chance at Malik Nabers and Marvin Harrison Jr. or Odunze, and they're like, yeah, we don't need a quarterback, it's more likely that it happens. You know what I mean? So it's like, they have to be honest with each other in these conversations. So I think they know exactly what they're doing. I think that they've been calling. I think that they've been having conversations. And the Giants, that sixth overall pick ends up becoming extremely valuable, because Cardinals and the Chargers, they're two teams that need top blue chip prospects, whether it is a Joe Alt or whether it's a Malik Nabers. They can't get that where the Vikings are at 11. You know what I mean? So they know they have a chance to add all pro level talent on day one. And I think that that gives the Giants a little bit of leverage, especially if they leverage that 47th pick or a future first. Again, you guys know my perspective. I'm all in on taking a quarterback. I think that's what they're going to do. Everything that we've talked about suggests that's the direction they're going in. But if they don't do that, I'm totally fine with Nabers or one of these blue chip receivers, and I'm not going to be upset about it. I'm going to question where we're going in quarterback long term. But the fact of the matter is, John Mara said this is one of the best draft classes of quarterbacks they've seen in a very long time. If you have any sort of, like, justification for drafting a quarterback, that is it. Because you can never tell when this type of crop of players is going to come up again. Next year, I can promise you, Ewing is not the guy. You know, he's not going to be one of these top three quarterbacks. He'd probably be a late first-round pick, if not a second-round pick, in this draft class. You know, I just don't think that the future is that bright in terms of quarterback prospects, and the Giants have a chance to reset that window now. I don't think they're going to let it go by. I'm 100% bought in they're taking a quarterback. Anything else is complete BS and just media running with any public opinion, public, you know, just persuasion. The public has no idea what's going on. Keep that in mind. They're having honest conversations. Everything we hear from them is total bullshit.
Yeah, except for Rich Eisen. He apparently knows what's going on. So if he says that the Giants are trying to trade up into the top three, God damn it, I believe him. And I think that the Giants are going to try and get that number three overall pick from the New England Patriots. And again, like I said, not only do they have connections with the Patriots in the front office there, they've got connections with the Arizona Cardinals. This is a relationship business, as Joe Shane said. I think that that could be leveraged into some trades. But to the Malik Nabers point, to the wide receiver point, I think that the Giants are going to do what they can to get the quarterback. If they can't, my God, I would love Malik Nabers, guys. Like, I just am enamored by this player. And if you've been a long-term viewer of the channel, which I'm sure many of you have been, 20K subs, thank you once again. You know how much I love the wide receiver position. And you know how much I love wide receivers out of LSU, just to add a little sweetener onto Malik Nabers. I mean, I love the wide receiver position, love watching it play, and I love studying these guys. Malik Nabers is one of my favorite players that I've watched and studied for this channel since we started this channel. So I think that he's a tremendous player, and I would not be upset at all if the Giants drafted him. When we do our live stream, you won't see any complaints from me if Malik Nabers is the pick. But I do think that the Giants are going to prioritize the quarterback position here because of how good this class is and how interested they seem in the top guys in this class. But that pretty much wraps up our conversation on John Mara's comments. Again, some really interesting stuff here. We'll see what happens. Still just speculating because we are still a month away from the NFL draft. We're hopeful to get some news soon that's not just speculation, but it's probably going to be a little bit tough here moving into the NFL draft. But once it's here, it's going to be here, and we are going to be really excited to break down all the prospects that the Giants end up landing in the draft right here on Fireside Giants. So make sure to leave a like if you enjoyed this episode. Subscribe to the channel if you're new. Ring the bell so you don't miss an episode, and comment your thoughts on the topics down below in the comment section. If you're listening to Apple or Spotify, please make sure to leave us a 5-star review and go ahead and follow us on all of our social media channels at Fireside Giants. Without further ado, we'll catch you all on the next one. Have a good one, and let's go, Giants.